glass. Of course, Maria and I couldn't make it this year. We hope to, of course, and look forward to attending next year. And so, you know, it's amazing the thing that we all share together, this unique, you know, bond that we have, that we strive to share with one another and maintain, if you will. And so, you know, many of the speakers enlightened us, as we all know. I know I was enlightened. I didn't get to attend one or two or a couple of the teachings, but still yet I was blessed. Craig, you know, hit it on the dot with the praise and song, and so that was amazing. Thank you so much, Craig, for that. And so I basically wanted to share something along the in Philippians that Paul writes about, that I have up, as you can all maybe hopefully see. And let me see if I can open up with a word of prayer. It might not be a very lengthy teaching, but nevertheless, hopefully we can learn from it, as I have. So you bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share the greatness of your word. I thank you for the ministry. I thank you for the weekend, for everyone there, Father, for those who are remote, that, Father, you are blessing their lives and encouraging them in all aspects. And so we thank you for this. We thank you for a blessed weekend, for everyone's travels being safe. And so we thank you for all this and that clarity of mind. In the name of your Son, our Lord, our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks,
so we're going to open with the scripture that everyone hopefully can see, is Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. And that verse, let's see if I'll read that as we have it up. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, of course, that scripture doesn't stand, you know, by itself. And what I was hoping to share was the interesting, words that he used. And Paul used these words in the general epistles, as well as here in the prison epistles. The word that we're going to be looking at is that thought of being like-minded, one mind, if you will. And again, it doesn't stand in isolation. There's some context with that. For example, in the very first verse, if we go to that first verse in chapter 2, where it says, if there be therefore any consolation, in other words, if then therefore there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. Now, we could agree, this is us. We are encouraged. So, you know, this is, you know, a statement that we have to agree with. Well, yeah, that's me. And Paul goes on to say that fulfill, play a role, if you will, ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So he's saying something of a sentiment that he would have us to adopt, if you will. Do we hear Paul, for example, calling for uniformity in doctrinal matters when he's encouraging his readers to be like-minded? Are we to construe his exhortation to mean something that would embrace some orthodox statement of faith? We know the world of Christianity is quite fractured into various different denominations, right? Even dispensationalists are segmented doctrinally with the different positions they may hold of Acts 2, Acts 28, and so forth. And history is replete, we know, with bloodshed over doctrinal disagreement. But we have to consider What was it that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was suggesting here? And I'll let you decide. Philippians 2, chapter 2, where it says, fulfill completely my joy that ye be like-minded. We have, of course, that Roneo Greek word, which is the Strong's numbers 5426. And then we have having the same love. Interestingly, I brought this up because as I was developing this, I just saw very quickly that I thought there was a correspondence here. So for you structural buffs, hear it. I thought this was something that I picked up where you can see the bookends of A with A, the both minds, if you will, phroneo, and the inner being the agape love and the one accord, same cycles, meaning, you know, together with the cycles, the inner life, the seat of the feelings, corresponding with that love, or agape love. So I found that to be interesting as well, that in that very verse there was some correspondence as well going on. Again, with the two book ends of Roneo, or mind. And so, you know, something to, and this could be taken, I'm sure, even further, and developed further. I just thought I came across the two, you know, the repetition of these words as bookends. So be that as it may, you see that the inner being the affection, if you will, whereas the like-minded phroneo that we're going to see how it's used elsewhere, referring to, you know, the sentiment. So Strong's number 5426 that he uses, Paul phroneo, comes from Strong's number 5424, friend, and that refers to the midriff or diaphragm, similar to how the word bowels used in the Bible to imply an inward affection, but connects like the diaphragm, if you will, with the mind. In the sense of sympathy, being sensitive with one's thinking or thought. So, you know, we see that in the Bible, the organs are used in such manner to identify with, you know, some feeling of, in other words, of sympathy, being sensitive. So in 1 Corinthians, we see brethren with friend, with the root word friend, 5424, we see it being used, and this is the only time it's used here. It's used twice in this scripture. Brethren, be not children in friend, albeit in malice be children, but in understanding, thinking, be men. So the context, of course, having to do with the gifts, the attitude of arrogance, if you will, there was a level of high-mindedness that they displayed toward one another. It compelled Paul to address their immaturity, to get them to, in other words, act without offense as children. And that was the whole context of this. And so, you know, we're getting to understand something of the word phroneo being used with its root word, something of a mental disposition or an attitude, an inclination. The word phroneo, 5426, occurs 29 times in 21 verses and 18 times in the prison epistles. So that's, whatever that's worth, which could be probably developed even further. The first occurrence, and, you know, for us as students, I consider myself a student, we like to see how it's used, how God uses the word in its very first occurrence. So in Matthew 16:23, he says, but he turned, this is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, when he turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that's, I think, an amazing thing that, you know, of all people, the Apostle Peter, one that even today, to this day, some people really, you know, put him on a pedestal, right? Some religions. And the point I'm trying to make here is that he tells him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. Savorest is the word, phroneo. Thou phroneo not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And that English word, translated word, savorest, is, comes from the Middle English savor, Latin sapor, even Spanish, for you people who are familiar with Spanish, is sabor. It's a flavor. It's a taste of. It's indicative of, you know, the taste, of smell. So we're getting a sense of, you know, I think we see somewhere in the Bible, you know, be a sweet-smelling savior, if you will, that would encourage us to be so. And the NIV says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So here we are getting a little closer as to, you know, the sense of phroneo, where the things that be of God are compared against those that are of men, which is an offense to God. And, you know, a much longer study on, you know, walking according to the flesh, if you will, can be developed on this very, very, very point. So, you know, we get the sense that our Lord was rebuking Peter for his worldly attitude. That's prevalent when man is led by flesh. And so, again, we're looking at that word. It appears in the prison epistle. And what do we do with this? We should learn to understand. Remember, Philippians is a practical epistle that enables us to better understand our practical walk. And so I hope, of course, to share and how it's used in other ways, in other scripture verses, if you will. Let's go on to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, and here we go, do phroneo the things of the flesh. And so this is a, you know, personally, I mean, who doesn't mind the flesh when the things in this world affect us directly, right? We all are affected in one way or another. And so this is something that affects every one of us. The point here is where he goes on to say, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, I mentioned here, I have a note here to reference, let's go to 2 Timothy 4:10. Because this is an interesting one, as an example, where, and this was mentioned somewhere, I think somebody mentioned it, a teacher. 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul says, for Demas has forsaken me, Demas has forsaken me, having what? Love this present world. And so we have something of, I don't know how else to say it, something that's negative, a derogatory, if you will, statement made about Demas. And is departing. So here's, I guess, the reason. He had a trip, I guess. He departed on Thessalonica, Crescent, Galatia, Titus, up to Demetrius. So here the point is, he had some kind of trip that he took. And so Paul's referring to him, Demas, as having forsaken, having loved this present world. So he liked traveling, or whatever that's worth. And so here Romans 8:5 again, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. nothing wrong with going on a cruise ship, but demons forsake him, forsook Paul. He preferred to go on, I guess, on a cruise ship of some kind, whatever that's for, whatever the context is. Just making light of it, of course. And Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to phronail, but to phronail soberly, sensibly, in other words, you know, with moderation, with some level of, you know, being level-headed, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, you know, it's something that we, as a body, as believers, you know, that we consider this instruction, this exhortation that Paul is telling us to adopt, this line of thought, this way of thinking, that we ought to not think ourselves more highly. You know, it's a humble type of disposition to be, to have some level of moderation, right? Which is what it's telling us, to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And in Romans 12:16, where he uses the same word, phroneo, be of the same athos, phroneo, one toward another. Phroneo, not high things, lofty things, or be haughty, but condescend to men of low estate, of humble, that's latinos, Strong's number 5011, be not wise in your own conceits. So he's contrasting what not to mind, the high things, with the humbleness that we are all to adopt here. There's the contrast there. Remember, he's addressing this to the churches, the believers. So, you know, these are not non-believers. So this is us. Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. The NIV translates that as, may the God who gives endurance encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other. So again, this is a line of thought that we need to pay attention to, we need to adopt, we need to assimilate, we need to meditate on, for what it means to you in your life, and how you relate to others within the body, with other believers, because God would have us to consider this. Amen?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure. So here, you know, Paul is kind of, not kind of, he's telling us what he has adopted. I have in a figure transferred. So I don't know how to pronounce that one. Someone can help me. 33:45. Transform myself and to Paulus for your sakes. For what reason? That he might learn in us. That's the whole objective. That he might learn in us not to phroneo above that which is written. That no one of them be locked, puffed up for one against another. So, this was something that was happening in Christian circles. And we need to, again, humbly look at this and say to ourselves that we adopt such an attitude. Because God would have us to do it. The NIV says, now, brothers and sisters, I have figuratively applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit. so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. So, you know, there was apparently in those days this attitude of offense. Remember, this was something that it was so important that he had to address it. It was so important that God puts it as the first occurrence when Christ rebuked Peter. That things that be not of God, that we ought to always consider in our hearts, in our inner being. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood phroneo as a child. I thought, that's logizomai, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one phroneo, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So again, this is another exhortation of being of one mind. Then at this point, we're going into the prison epistles, where the occurrence of phroneo occurs for the first time in Philippians 1:7. Remember, this is a practical epistle. And here it is, even as it is right for me, or meet for me to think, phroneo, this of you all, Paul writes, because I have you in my heart. So here, this is again an important sentiment he's expressing relating to the inner being of his inner self, the heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So here Paul is associating phroneo with having them in his heart. So this is a heart thing. It's a heart matter, phroneo. It's a disposition. It's an attitude. Amen? Continuing on, when we lead up to, of course, the scripture verse that I highlighted from the beginning, we have fulfilled, of course, complete, satisfied, be my joy, that ye be phroneo, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then in verse 3, of course, he goes to explain that nothing be done through self-ambition, if you will, through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is 2754, kenodosia, only here. It only occurs here. It's empty pride, self-conceit. But in lowliness of mind, humility, if you will, let each esteem, you've got Hugo Menoi, think of others, consider other better than themselves. So in other words, we ought to look at others in a humble state of mind, look at others being better, if you will. Look at other interests instead of our own. Which is, again, that's the human fleshly disposition to always look inwardly. But here we are to esteem, consider others better. This is again an attitude, a disposition. In verse 4, look not every man on his own things. So it qualifies it by the same way. But every man also on the things of others. Not looking at your own interests, but instead on the interests of others. Amen. So, again, over and over and over and again, we're getting some same thought that Paul here is describing. And not seeing anything here, you know, relating to doctrine as much as more of a disposition that we ought to have. Philippians 2:5, let this mind, phroneo, Companion Bible says, think, literally think this. Be in your, you, Companion Bible even says, the heart, your hearts. So it's an inner, again, quality state of attitude, if you will, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we can't argue that it wasn't, because we know he gave his only life, his own life for us, for the whole world. And that was an example. In fact, the following verses take that very point up. Let's read that, verses 5 through 8. Philippians. Give me a moment as I catch up. So in 5 again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so here we begin to hear Paul tell us, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And again, this is what we're being told that we ought to adopt. Let this mind be in you, in verse 5. Made himself of no reputation, verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant. Took upon him the form of a servant. Again, let this mind be in you, in verse 5. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? He humbled himself. Again, this is what we're told in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And became obedient unto death. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the attitude we're all to, of course, adopt, where it says, again, let this mind be in you. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 8, along the same line, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he what? Obedience by the things which he suffered. And how many of us, maybe some, maybe not, but I'm sure at some point we all suffered one thing or another. What did we learn? Or are we learning? What did Christ learn here? Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And so, again, it's a state of mind. We are confronted with challenges in this world. But we're taught that Christ learned obedience by it. And so, let this mind be in you. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the attitude that we ought to adopt. And then we have in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be, the word perfect is stelios, mature, be what? Thus minded, phroneo. So here's the exhortation on how we ought to also adopt this attitude of be thus minded, phroneo. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, Roneo, God shall reveal even this unto you. Next verse. It appears again. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained Let us walk, he is their practical, if you will, exhortation. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us phroneo, the same thing. Let us phroneo, the same thing. So, you know, let us walk and let us mind being the exhortation to that, you know, the practical application. In fact, the Authorized Standard Version says, only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk. New King James says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And this is a prison epistle that, again, is addressed directly to us. Interestingly, in Philippians chapter 4, we have, I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. Apparently, these were two women. They were deaconesses who seemed to be at odds with each other. And this was inconsistent with the things of God. You know, so here again, Paul is admonishing them, right? That he doesn't tell us that, you know, that he whatever excommunicated them or, you know, kicked them out. I'm not seeing that here. But he is exhorting them, of course, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 goes, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your proneo of me, your care, has flourished again, wherein ye are also, again, proneo, that sense of attitude, but ye lack opportunity. So he's expressing his joy for their concern that they have renewed of him, that line of thinking, that how they thought about him. And he's basically acknowledging that they didn't have a chance to act on it. He lacked opportunity. But yet, again, he was rejoicing in this. And then we have in Colossians, now this is interesting, Colossians. In Colossians is the last reference on this. What's interesting about Colossians, as we know, is that Colossians chapter 2, well, let me read it first. Chapter 3, I should say, right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection, there's your phroneo, on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, that, of course, has a context, as we all know, starting from verse 1 and even before that in chapter 2, where we have in verse 1, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we know that they were not holding the head in the previous verse in 19. We know that Paul was exhorting them that since they were dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, that they, in other words, should not be subjecting themselves to the ordinances. And so those were things that they were being encouraged to put aside, and to, in other words, set their affections on the spiritual things above. But keep in mind, what's interesting is that where there was ordinances, taste not, handle not, like in chapter 2, look what he says in 23 of chapter 2, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will and worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And so, I think there was a sense of attitude as well that I got a sense of here. Remember, they they were being admonished that with such ordinances that typically would come, probably, I have to imagine, a sense of, you know, arrogance, you know, where, you know, we get this today with people who are into religion, with people who you're not baptized, you know, so we have that. And so this is, again, an attitude of is it the flesh that's now directing our lives to the things that ought to be performed? And so this was more of an attitude, I believe. So that's why in verse 2, for ye are dead and your life is hidden, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. That's the reason we ought to set our affection on phroneo, on things above in verse 2 of chapter 3. Not on the things on the earth, be it those very ordinances, because they puffed up the mind, that's why. They got people to think that this is, you know, this is, again, what they felt was so tidy on their part to do. And yet, we all know that these things had to do with the flesh and not with the things of above. And so, these are things that are being exhorted, encouraged, in other words, to avoid. That's why we ought to set our affection on things above. Because those ordinances produced an element or a disposition that was not of God. It was an offense, as Christ told Peter. So they were looking at the fleshly things that did produce a negative attitude about it all. Amen?
Amen.
And so, that's all I really had to share with. If I can, I'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for encouraging us in this day and time. We know that we live in perilous times, and we know, Father, that it's important, and within the body, Father, to encourage one another and to, Father, walk the practical walk that you would have us to follow and adopt. And so we thank you, Father, that indeed this is available for us to do within the body. We, Father, thank you so much for the example that you led before us with Christ Jesus, putting his life for us when we didn't deserve it, and that we have that example to adopt, and that we may with one another seek the things of others above ourselves. So we thank you, Father, for this. In the wonderful, blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.